So thankful for the good songs that we've been privileged to sing this evening, as they serve as a very good introduction for the things that we want to talk about this evening. The song of redemption is a beautiful song. Open your Bibles, if you would please, to the text of Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. In the book of Romans, the Apostle Paul is exalting the theme of the book as we read in chapter 1 in verses 16 and 17. For there he says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is revealed a righteousness of God from faith unto faith, as it is written, by faith." I'm so thankful for your presence this evening as we worship and study God's Word together, as we're going to be talking about the subject of redemption tonight. In our study tomorrow night, we're going to be using this passage to talk about the power of the gospel to save men. And then in our study on Friday night, we're going to use the text of 2 Corinthians 5, chapter 5, verse 17, where the apostle said, "If any man be in Christ, all things are become new." We're going to look at these texts and try to examine them and learn some valuable lessons as we study together. In the reading of the text tonight from Romans chapter 1, again, Paul is exalting the nature of the gospel, its power to save men from sin. In this first chapter of the book of Romans, the apostle elaborates on sins that the Gentiles had committed. He drops down toward the conclusion of this chapter in verse 32, and he says, "Who knowing the ordinance of God, that they that practice such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but also consent with them that practice them." Now the Jew, perhaps, might look unto the Gentile in an accusative way and say, "Well, we're better than you are." But yet the apostle continues in the second chapter, and says, "Wherefore thou art without excuse, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest, for wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest doth practice the same things." Even the Jew presented himself unto the wrath of God because he had not lived consistently with God's word. In the third chapter he says, "What advantage then hath the Jew? Or what is the profit of circumcision? Much every way, first of all, that they were entrusted with the oracles of God. For what if some were without faith? Shall their want of faith make of none effect the faithfulness of God? God forbid." Again, are you any better than the Jew or the Gentile because you think that you're better than they are? Well, of course not. But God has granted you the oracles of God, and that does give you an advantage, but you too have transgressed the commandment of God. As we mentioned in our study last night in verse 9, he says, "What then? Are we better than they? No, and no wise, for we before laid to the charge both of Jews and Greeks that they are all under sin." Well, that was to be expected as we read concerning these Old Testament prophecies from the Psalms and from Isaiah. These prophecies identified that they would not obey God, that there would be none who would understand, none who would seek after God. Sin was universal. In verse 20, he says, "Because by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For through the law cometh the knowledge of sin."